Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So over the next 5 weeks, and actually this is week number 2, we're talking about Jesus as the bread of life, right? That's what we're talking about. And so what a perfect sermon series to start. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? My answer is always, of course, I'm always hungry. So last week we talked about A-Y-C-E, ACE, and that was all you can eat. That is the bread of life, Jesus' body, the all-you-can-eat kind of meal that you're never, ever going to be hungry. And this week we're going to talk about the open bar. How many of you have ever been invited to a wedding before? How many of you have ever had to plan a wedding before? Lot that goes into it. Sometimes I'm not sure which is easier, to be on the planning side or to be the one who gets invited to the wedding. And here's why I'm going to tell you that. When you're planning the wedding, right, there are tons and tons of decisions that have to be made. Like, forget what you're going to wear and all that. But how many table settings you're going to have, what colors you're going to have, what food you're going to have, and the final flowers. The final decision, which I think every groom says they want to have a say in, is what?
What?
The food.
The food. Usually they want to have a say in the bar. The bar, the drinks, right? The drinks. So it's sort of like, all right, if there's going to be a decision to be made sometimes, I'll let you make the decision on the bar. There's always one person in the group who wants to have that decision made. And so the question becomes, are you going to have an open bar or are you going to have a cash bar? So what's the difference between an open bar and a cash bar?
Money.
Money, yes. Money. Well, it depends on which side of the coin you're on, right? So as the one who's doing the inviting, if you're going to have a cash bar, that means that the guests are going to pay for whatever it is they're going to drink. And on the other side, if it's an open bar, it means that who's ever paying for the wedding, okay, is the one who's going to, like, foot the bill on all of that. But is it really all that cut and dry that it's either one or the other? Now, what I found over the years is that there is really a choice that can go on in there. So for example, you could say that the guest has to pay for everything, I'm not paying for a thing. All right, maybe the water on the table, they can have that, right? So that's pretty much your cash bar. Then you could say, well, they can have soft drinks. And soft drinks we would call the non-alcoholic drinks. So that will be free. But then they're going to pay for everything else. Then we could say, well, we're going to do, non-alcoholic beverages. But we're going to throw beer and wine in there. So if they want some beer and wine, they don't have to pay for that. I'll pay for that, right, is what the planner might say, or the one who's throwing the party, but they have to pay for everything else. Then you might say, well, all right, we'll have all of that, plus we'll throw in some hard liquor, but not the good stuff. Then you've got the one that says, oh, what the heck, it's all in. And you know what? Then they call it top shelf, right? The top shelf, where if somebody says, I want a particular brand, throw it all in, sure, we'll pay for the whole thing. And then there's a certain number of hours that you pay for, and it's actually by person. Now, it can even get more complex than that, believe it or not. You could say, you know something, no top shelf for anybody but the immediate family. Has anybody ever heard that before? Am I the only one? Thank you. I see some nods. Are there any New Yorkers here? Because I think some New Yorkers would say they've heard that one before. Kind of keep the liquor under, but if the immediate family asks for it, you can have it. Or so-and-so, right? There might be particular people that are named because maybe they know the bride and the groom better than somebody else. But clearly, everybody there is somehow connected to the bride and the groom. Somehow. There's a relationship with the bride and the groom. So that's on the planning side. Now let's take a look at the guest side. I never heard of a cash bar until the first time I got an invitation, and it said right on it, cash bar. And I said, well, what does that mean? It's like, well, what do you think it means? It says cash bar. It means you're going to pay for your drinks. I was like, oh, I never heard of that before. But what happens if you show up at a wedding and you don't know that it's a cash bar? Because that's sort of what everybody's been doing lately, and you have no cash on you. Do they take credit card? Do they take a debit card? Are there options? What is one to do? So you can see that on the other side, the one who is receiving the invitation and invited to the wedding is asking, what is it that I need to do? Now, I don't know if this is common practice, but years ago when I was in the wedding going, now I do the wedding doing versus the wedding going, but it would always be in New York, the tradition was that you gave cash to the bride and groom. Has anybody ever heard the term covering the plate before? You want to cover the plate. So this is what cover the plate means. It means depending on how extravagant the event is, will depend upon how much money you will give the bride and the groom as their gift because you want to help them out. So if it looks like it was $100 per person and there's two of you there, you might give the gift of $200, let's just say. Well, what do you do when there's an open bar versus a cash bar? Does that mean I don't give as much anymore? Interesting questions. So what does all this have to do with today and with the reading that we heard? Well, Jesus is talking with a group that has followed him, right? They followed him. They were with him where he fed them, and then they follow him and find him. They spot him. It's almost like, there he is. He's over there. Let's go. And they follow him over there because here's the question that they're asking. How do we know for certain that you are the Messiah, that you are the Savior, that you are the one, the very one that God was telling us would be coming? We want a sign. We want to know that it's really you. And Jesus says to me, you know, the reason you're following me is because I gave you food. That's the reason why you're following me. And now you're asking me for another sign. He says, the food that I give to you is not like the food that your ancestors received when they were in the wilderness wandering around for 40 years after they had been free. That's not the kind of food that I give. I give the kind of food in which you will never, ever, ever be hungry again. And I give the kind of drink in which you will never, ever, ever be thirsty again. It's like the open bar. It's the open bar. It's the open bar where your thirst will always be quenched. And it's the open bar where it's free to the person who has been invited. It's the open bar. There's no cost to you, but there is a tremendous cost to God incarnate, to Jesus Christ. He is the one who welcomes, and he is the one who will bear the cost. And all who are invited to the table, they are invited to come freely and to drink as much as they want. See, God in Christ took on our sin and put sin to death in his own death. And in his resurrection, he gave us new life. Death and the devil are both put to death, and new life is given. We are invited to the wedding feast, to the wedding reception. We're given new robes to wear to this reception. It's the robe of righteousness. Of Christ's righteousness covers our sin. As we are still here on earth, we are both sinner and saint. We still wear our sin in our humanness, but in Christ, we wear the robe of righteousness. So when God looks at us, God sees righteousness. Belief in John's gospel, when Jesus says, believe in me, belief in the gospel It's not a noun. It's not the creeds that we say. It's not the words that we use. It's not the principles. It's not the statements. It goes beyond that. It's about Christ as our Savior. So belief in John's gospel is really a verb. It's about a relationship in which you come to the table over and over and over again to remember and to be reminded of the promise that's given. It's about a commitment. It's about being. It's about living in and living through Christ. It's not what we do for Christ, but what Christ does for us. And we stay connected to that very source of life and live in to the promise, which is what we call trusting in the promise. You know, it's really hard for the first century folks back then to understand what's going on. Because you see, God made a covenant with Israel, with God's people, in which God said, I will be your God and you will be my people. And God gave them rules. And so this is what they're used to. Okay, there's kind of a give and take. You do this, and then God is going to, you know, take care of us kind of thing. But something so brand spanking new is happening. It's radically new. God is doing a new thing. And they're like, well, but we don't understand it. We need a sign. And Jesus is trying to tell them that God is doing something new. God standing there in their midst, Jesus, God incarnate, is doing something so new. And he's telling them that. As 21st century people, God tells us the very same thing today. In Jesus, God is indeed doing a new thing. He's inviting them to the wedding feast. He's inviting them into an incredibly personal relationship. He says, I will pay with my life, my body, and my blood so that you will be reconciled to God, Creator God, forever and ever. That is how much God loves you. You and I, on this very day, are invited to the very same wedding feast. It's an open bar. Have you ever heard the term, step up to the bar? Step up to the Lord's table. The feast, the table, is set. And what we receive is the bread, Christ's body, the bread of life, which is given for you and for me. And we receive the blood, the wine, the new covenant that's poured out in the blood and the body of Jesus. This is the new covenant that says your sins are forgiven and you will have eternal life, which begins now and lasts forever. This bar is open. It's free to drink as much as you want, to remember the promise that is given. Because as you come and drink this free gift of grace, it will free you in ways that you will be so incredibly surprised. So come to the Lord's table, where the food is all you can eat, and the bar is an open bar. Amen. Amen. Thank you.